We've got Sailor Dollar with us today, a fantastic music group that you're going to really enjoy learning about them and listening to their beautiful music. And as a courtesy, we're going to do a repeat broadcast of a portion of last week's show that featured City Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. It's in the second hour, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Again, we have gathered on this fine occasion when it's time to talk about all things Tallahassee, or as much as we can stuff inside a couple of hours. Welcome to all of you listening on 93.3 FM here in Tallahassee at 7 o'clock now on Saturday morning. So you're definitely a different breed, but I like that because that's kind of my style too. It's tough, you know, when you're somehow you're just tied to the, I don't know what that is, some kind of a cycle. But yeah, 6 a.m. is pretty much my up and atom kind of time. So welcome, my friend. Glad that you're joining me at that hour. If you're not, then you're listening at the time when everybody else is up and around on Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world. And here we have on this occasion Sailor Dollar, these two fine people, and their two bandmates. There's four of them actually in this group, and they're going to be with us. Two of them will be with us in this hour of the show. They're going to talk at length about their beginnings, how they came together and have come husband and wife in the process, and how their music just goes on and on. And we'll learn about it. And they're going to perform for us here too on stage at On Set. Since we are coming to you courtesy of the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio. And I should point out, too, on Saturday nights, Moose is generous enough to bring us a live broadcast from the Bradfordville Blues Club. And that Bradfordville Blues Club history is all about Tallahassee, and especially those artists who from time to time have made their way here, including people like Brett Wellman, right, and many others, Leon Anderson, and, man, the list goes on. There is, in fact, a kind of constancy about Tallahassee's music scene that has become, I think, more well-recognized, and certainly we hope that Moose is contributing to that, because if you don't know, real tough for artists, unless they are signed with a major record label, to get any kind of airplay. I mean, it's a fair statement, I think, to say that the record companies run the radio stations in terms of formatting. And that's why you have these various genres. You know, you've got your rock station and your blues and your jazz. But those formats that sell records, whether it's country, and then there's, of course, classic country versus the adult contemporary, the kind of pop. And then you go off into the hip, pop, and the Yeah, the R&B, which is not like the R&B you and I grew up with, boys and girls, but it is indeed mixed with all kinds of influence from record labels. Well, if you're not signed with one of those labels, the chance of you actually walking into somebody's office and saying, "Hi, now here's my record," and that's actually getting some airplay, just not going to happen. And I speak from firsthand experience in the early days of my son's career, trying to get him on a local station. And it so happened that one station that had a midday segment of their broadcast day in which they actually featured local artists, which was a kind of cool thing. So he did get some attention there. But, you know, that put that thought in our minds way back then. This goes back probably, 20 years ago, that in fact, if you are a local artist and you're trying to get a better shot at developing an audience of followers. Now, remember, this predates the advent of things like YouTube and now Spotify, of course, and other music sources. The chances of you actually getting any kind of following pretty slim. Well, these fine folks that we're going to have with us, Sailor Dollar, they have already ranked in the multiple thousands of listeners on Spotify. I think they're at 60,000 on Spotify, which is not bad. I mean, that's a good, healthy sort of following. But in fact, this is a group that is all about the sound of Tallahassee, because they are that mix of country and sort of a light rock and blues sort of feel. Very, very talented folks. And Lisa Dollar, who is the fiddle player and vocalist, man, she'll just kill you dead with her abilities. Not the least, not to exclude from that listing, in any fashion, Dale Dollar. Wow. Yeah, he's the real deal. We are the real dollar, I suppose you'd say. But in any case, you want to stay with me for that. I do have a couple of announcements for you. And I should point out that our broadcast last week was an unusual opportunity for us, because we normally don't, but we gave the entire show to this topic of Tallahassee's, we'll call it, business dealings. Trying to be a bit polite, I suppose, or even euphemistic about it. But it happens that when you have people looking in on how the business of Blueprint has been conducted, and in general, how contracts are awarded, it becomes a little bit more complicated, we'll say, or even dicey, given the recent revelations that have come by way of court proceedings and, you know, Scott Maddox and such, and all of that that has been made now public information. Well, that has increased, of course, the level of scrutiny and awareness, just in general. People that otherwise have just sort of turned a blind eye to such things because they figure, well, there's really nothing to see there. Well, come to find out, there's a lot to see. And our Commissioner Jeremy Matlow has made it his personal quest and professional responsibility to try to bring more of that information to us. I mean, now, if we turn around and look at Commissioner Matlow and say, hey, we don't care, whatever. Well, then, I mean, I'm not sure where you go from there. That's probably how we've ended up in this situation. But, I mean, let's face it. There's been too much complacency and sort of an attitude of ambivalence about it all. We really need to take a stronger role, I think, in, come on, this is a small town, folks, and we will always be a small town. Even if we have more people, it is a small town mentality that we're about, which simply means that there's no place to crawl off into a corner somewhere. Because everything that happens in the city, in the county, in the way that business is conducted, man, that hits you and I right square in the pocketbook. Yeah, these are your dollars that are being allocated for things that are questionable in some respects, at least in terms of how the decisions have been made. It's interesting, too, since all of this has come out, and of course, initially the attack dogs came to try to take down Mr. Matlow. That was kind of curious. Now what you're getting are sort of the softer side of the PR game, where they're going to try to amp up a little bit the positive that Blueprint has brought to the community. Not to say that they haven't, but the question really comes back to how is it the decisions are made? So it's not just about the outcomes. It really is the process. Do you and I feel, do we believe, and in fact, is it real that our government is listening to us and that, in fact, we hold with the notion that the government is us and that to the extent that we have opportunity to make our voices known, well, we need to do that.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
It is our custom around here to make certain that you are plugged in, or unplugged, depending on the artist at hand, sorry. With those musicians locally who are superhuman for the most part because they ride up against the forces of the universe in everything they try to do musically. Come on, Tallahassee, we need to embrace the idea that we are a highly talented community of musicians who live and work among us. God help them. And we try to help them by making sure they're given a little bit of airtime. We have with us today this remarkable band, four members, two of whom are with us. We have Lisa Sailor Dollar, charming person, by the way. Not the first time you've been on the show.
No.
No. And so we're going to talk a little bit about your musical talents and her rather handsome and well-established, buoyant sort of personality here, Dale Dollar. How are
Hello.
You, Dale?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Happy to be here, I can tell you that.
It's radio, but think of West Texas when you think of Dale. He has that sort of outlaw kind of feel about him. I don't know, just, you know.
I'll take it.
I like that. Yeah. Right. So, okay. With that having been said, let me give you just a little bit of thumbnail here. They are Tallahasseans, and they have a kind of eclectic sound, pulling from blues, rock, and country. Definitely an Americana. Is that right, Lisa?
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And with that, they have two bandmates, David Marsh, who plays drums, and David Schrenk, right? Who is their bass player, and subtitled a music theorist. So he does a lot of the composition, is that right? Or he just tells you when you're not in the right key?
Right. No, he actually just analyzes a lot. Like when we bring in a song, he'll analyze it.
Ah.
And so it's just kind of an inside joke that
we
say because he'll, you know, be...
We write it and
he tells you. He tells you what's wrong with it. See, that's how my wife is with me. I come with something. Yeah, never mind.
Right.
So together, these four have established a rather impressive and growing fan base. Thousands of followers, monthly listeners. They are on Spotify, like so many these days. But right now, they're us, and they're part of us, and they're part of Moose, because you can go to Moose Magnificat anytime, day or night, free of charge, by the way, and enjoy their music along with those of hundreds of other artists who have made their way to the Moose. Well, folks, let me get past all of the preliminaries here. When you think of the way in which you've come together as a team, we'll say, as a band, all four of you had other stuff going on. It's not uncommon. What was it that brought the four of you together, would you say, principally? How did you come about to say, well, you know what, we're going to do something else here. We're going to do something new.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. We, Lisa and I had a mutual friend, and we played a party for his sister, Julie Palooza.
Cover tunes.
Air quotes. And, yeah, cover tunes, which and all the bands that I've been in post-90s, I've always done original music. It's just what I like to do now.
Sure, sure.
It's not great for getting gigs, but it's what I
It doesn't sell beer, man. That's the problem.
It doesn't sell beer, but it's what I love to do is write. It's definitely my favorite. So we played, and then it's about two more years before we played together again, and I kind of like the way she tells it as far as seeing me. I let her take over this little part.
It would kind of. So Lisa, you were enamored with this guy? Is that what happened?
Well, we were enamored of each other musically. After that gig, Dale sort of shared some song ideas with me back and forth, but it wasn't for another 2 years. I was sitting on my sofa scrolling through Facebook, and I saw a video of Dale just ripping
it.
And I thought, why am I not still playing with this man? He's so talented. So I texted him and said, when do you want to get together and jam? Because we had talked about that, you know, before. And
a pickup line made in heaven.
Right?
Any musician in the world. Dale, you didn't have a chance.
Look at her. She's
you had
blonde,
no,
wanted to play music.
No
chance,
brother, I'm saying.
I
anyway,
didn't.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, he said, I don't want to just jam. I want to make a band with you. So we decided to give it a go, and
there we are.
There we go. That first video that I heard on Facebook is now Goodbye, which
part
we
of
just
the,
recorded.
Part of the whole,
It's on our new album, the Goodbye song, which we did two acoustic albums first, and now we have our full band doing an album. So
cool. Yeah. These other two that have joined you, they were also known to you, colleagues and such?
Well, David Shrink owned Music Exchange, which anybody that's played music in this town, at least back, you know, 10 years ago,
bought
knows
a bunch
music
of gear
exchange.
From him at one point. Didn't know it was him.
I didn't know it was him when he walked in, and I was like, oh my God, I've spent thousands of dollars with you, and we got a good laugh.
You owe me.
Right. So everybody knows Shrink, whether they know Shrink or not. Marsh, I did not know, but I believe Lisa knew.
I had played
knew,
a gig with, Lisa knew with David Marsh.
Neat.
So I invited him to join us on this endeavor.
Very cool.
And he recommended Shrink because he had played with Shrink in another band.
Very cool.
So that's how we got together.
It is a natural sort of thing, from my humble observation, that musicians often do sort of find each other in the dark. And as they begin, because you're constantly looking for a way to sort of, to ground yourself musically and validate what you're doing. And when you find somebody else in that situation.
Right. And like-minded, you know, like that wants to do the same type of music.
That's not
That's hard
easy.
To find as well.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, I love all kinds of music, but there's only certain music that I really want to play. So
Big difference there too, right?
Oh, yeah. And
performing versus appreciating.
Right.
Yeah.
And someone that just want, you know, that wants to write, because I wanted to write. I mean, I we could do covers, and we've added a few just to, you know, try to
broaden our appeal.
Right. Broaden our appeal, right.
Frankly, it's a PR move. I mean, if
it
you want to say, I mean, because people are like, you know, whatever, play, you know, and you're like, sure, okay.
Right. And, you know, there's some people that come to a lot of our shows that are learning our songs now.
Yeah.
So, and they have their favorites, and they'll ask for them. And that's nice, you know. But it's not like, you know, playing you know, just a well-known cover song.
There you go. When you say performing around town, what does that look like? Where are you showing up that we could come and listen?
Well,
You got one coming up.
We got
this
one
week?
Coming up. Yeah. October 1st, we're doing our album release party. And that's going to be a Junction at Monroe, Russ's place, and we're real excited about that.
Jam is cool, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I love it. So,
we just need to give him like $20 million.
Right.
I don't know.
I love his stage. I love
so
it.
You could just like expand the seating area, but the stage is very,
it's a great stage.
Very real.
It's probably my favorite stage in town at this moment.
That's so nice.
It's nice, yeah.
Well, we're getting to know these folks. If you've just joined me, Sailor Dollar is the name of the group. Lisa and Dale, and they're two bandmates, two Daves. Maybe we could do it that way. We'll say Lisa, Dale, and two Daves. They are Sailor Dollar, and they are our guests today. When we get back, we're going to have opportunity to listen some of this fine here music we're talking about. So you stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com. I will try not to sing out of key.
Yeah. Oh, baby, we're back, and we are talking with Sailor Dollar, these fine young musicians who have made their way to our humble studio here, because it is our mission in life to make sure that you and I stay in tune with, pardon the pun, those who are bringing the sound of Tallahassee to the rest of the world. And these folks certainly have and are continuing to do so. In fact, we're going to take some time in this moment to do a little music with them. They've got a song called Music, a Love Story, subtext. Music, a Love Story. Tell us the beginnings of this song or whatever you'd like to say about it before we go there.
Well, when Dale and I started playing music together, we started our friendship, we discovered that both of us had a lifelong love for music, and that it had been there for both of us during, you know, all the times of our lives. So we wanted to write a love story to music.
Neat. And in writing that love story from a musical point of view, the challenge then, of course, is to get the song to somehow better reflect, I suppose, the reality that you've experienced. How would you would you say that you're more successful in that regard, or, you know, how have you, when you listen to the song now, how well does it reflect your experience?
I think it does a good job. It's happy. It's very major, so it's very happy, and I think that was important for it, because it's a song of joy. It's about being in love with music and how
a celebration.
You know, it's your first love, and or for us, our first love,
It'll
probably be our last love. You know.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a celebration, like you said, it's a celebration of just the love of music. And I think we keep it happy and upbeat. And the lyrics that Lisa wrote are absolutely beautiful. And I love it.
So the two of you then met by way of Facebook and other means, right?
Well, we met playing that first gig,
right.
And we stayed connected with Facebook.
Right, stayed connected, then kind of re-upped the deal.
That's right.
Musically, you guys started to come together, and now in your relationship, you have made that even more complicated, I suppose we'd say, more involved, right? So when you guys got married? not long ago.
We did.
December 2019.
I mean, it just gets...
Two Christmases ago.
I'm just saying, you know.
Oklahoma, it was...
It gets...
It was great.
You got to just kind of think, you know, one thing to be working and singing together, and now it's kind of like, oh boy, here we are.
But it's wonderful because with our relationship, we both obviously love music, so... Our life is music. We go home, we write. We have amps, guitars, fiddles, pianos, cellos,
drums.
Very cool.
Banjos,
singing mandolins, elephants.
And we that's what we do. We go home and we play. You know, we'll watch a little bit of Doctor Who as we're going to sleep. But besides that, we're not really on the TV.
All right, Who fans?
Oh, yes, definitely a Whovian.
He's
here.
One of us.
Right. Definitely a Whovian over here, and I'm converting her very rapidly.
Yes, you are.
She loves it.
But maybe you didn't see the poster we have up front. You'll see that on the way.
I didn't.
That's okay.
Oh, cool. So, you know, so that's what we do. I mean, we play music, we write music. That's we love it. Yeah. I mean,
you love it, and you love each other.
Oh, yeah, definitely love each other. Yeah.
What's the best part about being married to him, would you say? One thing.
One thing. Oh, there are so many things.
I know, but we don't have time. So, what's one thing that you would, the first thing you think of when you say, I'm married to this guy?
He is so talented.
Okay. Don't lose the talent, just saying.
And he loves me so well. He just loves me so well.
There you go. Oftentimes, when you ask couples that question, you get that answer because she is so good at loving me. I said this to my wife. The reason I want to marry you is that I don't think there's another man on the planet that can do a better job. You know, on the day that I'm convinced otherwise, then okay, I'm out. But until then, yeah.
That's a good one.
Well, that was 40 years ago. So far, aww. It's
yeah, that you
worked.
Know,
we're
that
thinking about yeah, we're thinking about getting married. You know, yeah. At this point, no, I'm teasing. we married in '82, and so you know, all these years later, and four adult offspring. I mean, you know, like I say, it's complicated. It's not as simple as just picking up your guitar and walk out the door anymore.
Right, yeah,
yeah. You got commitments.
I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. Well, and that's that life that you're describing from, you know, from all of those who echo your perspective is a common thread. You know, that if the music itself were not there. I mean, for some weird reason, all of a sudden you both woke up one morning and there just wasn't the music. What would there be? Well, from what you're describing, although that's unthinkable, but what you're describing is something that's foundational that the music sort of rests on,
most
right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the life, you know, life gets weird.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff comes at you.
Seems to be getting weirder and weirder. So, yeah.
There's a lot of weirdness going on, for sure.
For sure.
Well, we'll take a break from all the weirdness, and we're going to celebrate this love story that is yours, and this song entitled, appropriately, Music, A Love Story, featuring the music of Sailor Dollar. And it's our pleasure to be able to bring it to you. Let's take a listen.
Joyous voice to me she gave, comfort for my lonely days. She has a song for all that's past, lover's love should be mine. Sweet music, a heart of song. Sweet music, my whole life long. I've been lost without a friend, she's never my heart would mend. All my most euphoric days, she and I would dance away. Sweet music, my heartfelt song. Sweet music, my whole life long. La 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 la. Words just can't
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, with our newly established friendship with these lovely people, operating under the title Sailor Dollar, Lisa Sailor and Dale Dollar. Clever. You guys are so clever. Love the song, too. If you didn't catch that, folks, Music, A Love Story is the title of the song they were kind enough to share with us here just prior to our break. We're going to get another sweet thing, or as Dale has insisted, sweet thang, coming up here in just a second. So you're going to get another chance to hear this beautiful music. But again, if you've missed it, you guys are on Spotify. What'd you say earlier? You got thousands of folks following you there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Spotify and the new album's just really doing well. Mm. For us, you know, two little people from our four.
Yeah.
Include the whole band. But
yes.
From Tallahassee, you know, we've had like 60,000 listens. It's been out a week or so.
Wonderful.
That's big for us,
that's,
you know.
Big time,
and it's pushed us over the 20K follow mark. And for us, that's huge.
That's a big, you know, deal. Well, that's
for
huge
us.
For anybody. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Think about it. There's a lot of competition out there for listenership.
Yeah, there is.
Right? Because we're, I mean, as a culture, we're just oversaturated with.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, audio, video, text, I mean, it's all just pounding away at us.
It is.
And perhaps you're that break in the clouds. Maybe people say, now, there's some music I could just kind of listen to. And but, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is going back to some of your personal lifestyle. You both have pets at your home. Tell us about the animals that occupy your residence.
All right, I'll take the cats and she can take the dogs.
Ah, there we
go. We
have
Alfred, and he's an orange boy kitty cat, and we have Kit Kat, and he's huge.
Mm.
And I'm very much a cat person.
Are you?
I love dogs too.
Yeah.
I love all animals, to be honest with you, but I'm just such a cat person. I just like their silly ways. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So then, Lisa, you're the spokesperson for the dogs. Tell us about your dogs.
Yeah. We have two Chihuahua mixes.
Ah.
Yeah.
Vicious little rascals, but adorable.
They are adorable. Yeah. Jake.
A.K.A. Snarls Barkley.
No kidding. Man, don't get in their face because they will tear you up.
And Rufus. Rufus loves us so much, he thinks he has to protect us from everything.
Everything, right. Yeah, yeah. Moth flies through the room, he's on it. What is it with Chihuahuas? I don't know. I mean, I love them, but they don't seem to love us very much.
Right.
At least if we're not part of the clan, huh?
That's right.
We have one animal left at our house. All of our animals, dogs, cats, they've all passed away. And one recently, we lost a cat we'd had for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
So the one animal we have left is a bald-headed cockatiel who I've dubbed the fuzzy buzzard. You know, because this animal, he looks like a punk rocker. Because he's got like these two feathers that stick out the top of his head. It's hilarious.
That's awesome.
That bird will hear us coming up the driveway and just screaming at us.
Nice.
So, you know what, folks? You need animals in your life, if for no other reason, to remind you that you're not alone and, you know, you're not all that big a thing. I mean, you know, animals are cool, right?
Okay.
And they're just as important in many respects as we are. They have their place in the world. If you don't know that, watch National Geographic Channel, man. The grizzly bears and all that. I was watching National Geographic earlier today, so I'm into that. Where do you go from here? How does the music continue to grow, as far as you know? And does it require your handiwork, or do you just kind of let things come as they may?
You know, we work on at the business side of it a lot. We're always trying to find new playlists to get on. Huh. We just got some PR management, and hopefully that's going to help us a bit
nice.
To get the word out, because it's really hard. Like you said, there's so much competition.
How many plates can you spin at one time?
Right, and just to get heard. It's hard just to get heard, period.
Yep. So. And you have this new album that is now out. What's the name of the album?
Relentless.
Relentless. There's a good subtext to our conversation, because right. we're talking about just keep on. You both have been playing a long time individually, and you've been together now for a few years corporately. Where do you go when you want to just get away from Tallahassee for, I don't know, half an hour or maybe a day? You have like a haunt somewhere that you retreat to?
We usually go to shows. We just went and saw the Black Crows, whom we love.
You're hopeless, man.
It is. It's always music.
Yeah. I was hoping like maybe you'd go to Wewahitchka or someplace, you know.
It's always
or the
music.
Swanee. I don't know.
And our next planned vacation is Nashville to see a show.
Okay,
so,
folks.
You know, We're
they
we're
are deep
nerds.
In
we're music nerds.
Music
we're definitely
nerds.
Music nerds.
Well, folks, we're blessed to have these music nerds with us. We're going to take one last opportunity to hear this song from one of their prior albums, Sweet Thing. Or is it on the new album?
It's on the second album.
Second album. Sweet Thing, it's called. Folks, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Lisa and Dale, we're going to let you guys go. We're going to close out this portion of the show with this song. Folks, you stay with me. Coming up after the top of the hour, we'll have more Tallahassee Talks. Let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're back. You're talking with Jeremy Batlow, who has made it his mission today to try to help yours truly humble servant of this show to figure out what's going on, what's been going on, where are we going, how do we right this ship from being dashed to pieces, and what's of greater concern to me, Jeremy, at this moment is how we get more people, and I mean just everyday folks, plugged into the conversation, especially when our beloved newspaper here locally, the reporting of late, has been rather disappointing. I'm being euphemistic here, but the point is, I think that when we have opportunity to really do this deep dive, and it all comes back to us as a kind of oh well sort of sentiment. Am I missing something?
No, I mean, I think we have duties as voters, but we also have duties as elected officials. So I just take a minute to imagine doing Blueprint differently. Let's not say we're going to pick our insider network, have them form a 20-member committee, and go decide whose private priorities rise to the top, and throw in a couple things, you know, the public will like, just so, you know, they don't get outraged that we're taking all of their money, which is kind of how Blueprint was framed this cycle. But what if you went to different areas of town? What if you went to folks who lived in Killarn and Summerbrook and said, you know, we're going to divide this money and try to spread it out amongst our community? If we spent $20 million in your area, what would you like to see? Well, first, you'll probably get zero votes for a new road through property that doesn't have any development in it, right? But then you hear ideas like, maybe we should have a sports megaplex for our children. Maybe we should improve these facilities. You could get really good ideas. And if you started there and you went and did that type of conversation and then you delivered on what the people asked for, how many more people would be engaged with local politics?
Indeed.
Because when they engage, what they're told, you know, they're met with the cold shoulder. The same reason I ran for office. They didn't care what the small businesses on Gain Street, you know, had to say and how it would affect, you know, their businesses. They, you know, there was a hotel project or something coming along and, you know, they had their marching orders that we need to develop the biggest buildings we can as quick as possible. Who does that really benefit? So it's not about being anti those things. Obviously, I'm a small business owner, so I think we need to make it easier for businesses to do business. I just don't think they should be doing business with our public tax dollars. And if we can engage people in that way, if we could build sidewalks, I drop my son off at Seeley Elementary every morning, and I see the same young girl walking through the grass right across the street, and you know, safe paths to school is supposed to be a priority of sidewalk construction. If that parent sees their sidewalk built for their child, they're more than likely to go out and vote and tell their friends that government can work for them.
Something is happening that's of value for me and for my children.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, isn't that how
kind of
what we want from our government?
The very be? I mean, where did we lose sight of that? You know, I have this sort of philosophical point of view on just about everything, I suppose, and forgive me. But for the last couple of decades, I've looked at this region having agrarian roots and realizing that nothing really ever changed. You know, unlike maybe some other communities throughout the South, Tallahassee went from 75% of the population enslaved in the census of 1860 to another enslaved population in the 40s and 50s growing tobacco over there in Gaston County. And when the tobacco industry collapsed, you had a whole community, population of people that were disenfranchised. Where did they go? Well, a lot of them just ended up in dire poverty that was generational, right? A lot of them went to work for government in some capacity. But what didn't change was what I've dubbed a kind of plantation mindset or mentality that says, and it's the most insidious part of this, that if I'm the plantation owner, I'm the elite, I'm the powerful, I own you and I own the land. And then I come along and say, hey, Jeremy, you know what? You're free, but you have never been given the opportunity to know what freedom really is. You just don't have the manner that is necessary for you to rise up and say, by golly, you know, I'm going to have my own farm, or I'm going to do this or that, whatever it is, or I'm going to stay right here and just keep working. But the notion is the rights and powers and abilities of that individual. It seems to me there's a thread there, because that's what got you to do this. And I mean, that's what moved you past making pizza and being very successful at it and other enterprises, to say, we deserve better.
Right. I think you're really, I mean, you say a lot of this is quite literally the descendants of large landowners. Yep. You know, people think about, you know, these big families and sort of things. And, you know, I was a guy running for office. I didn't know who any of these people are. Right. You know, when you grew up on the south side of Tallahassee, you've never heard a lot of these names. You might
You're
have
just
seen
looking
one
for a sidewalk.
Right. You might have seen it on a park or something, or that sort of thing. And sure. I remember the first time someone said to me that there was a project that was going to affect a certain property owner. And they said, I don't know any elected official who would ever vote against the I don't even remember the name, whatever family was. And I'm thinking, like, I will, because I don't know who that is. Right. I'm just here to see if this decision makes sense. But I think it really speaks to really the stranglehold historically on local politics and how right now it may be the Chamber of Commerce, and we speak about the Chamber. I really speak about, you know, some of the folks on the top who are really engaging in local government and pulling the strings, and not the individual businesses and members that are doing networking and that sort of thing. Because I think, you know, they're largely being used as a shield from an organization that thinks, you know, that government is their playground and their toy. And it's that type of interconnection that caused our largest issues in Tallahassee with economic segregation and the South Side. Why did all of this property down here get zoned where you send your wastewater? Why did it get zoned where you send your trash or you have your junkyards? And all this property up here is where we build nice housing and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, and I forgive me because I harp on this, but I really think that we have to address the cultural roots of this mentality as well, and at the same time that we address the ramifications of that. How does it get played out? I mean, you think about the emancipation of African Americans, or think about the equality of women. Take any subcultural grouping and look at the process, what it's taken, and we're still working that. Right? So we're talking about a community that has lived this way under whatever label you want to call it for its life. I mean, going back into the early 1800s, right? I mean, so coastal cotton was the crop. Well, now we make college kids and we make lobbyists. And we have all of these, what I consider just another example of a plantation where the people in charge, they not just are responsible for, they own it. They own the means of production. They own the people who work it. And you're talking about members of a group like the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. Well, you talk to the average chamber member, I mean, what do they know? They're there to do some business and connect with people, and those are all good intentions. What they don't necessarily know is that they're not going to get invited to the dance. You know, and I can say as a chamber member, I've been a chamber member since I've been in business. I waited a long time to get invited to the dance. Never happened. So then I decided I'd have my own dance and invite everybody. That's how it works. All right, folks, we've got to take another quick break. We got Jeremy Matlow here. I'm going to try to stop talking and just let Jeremy, because he knows a heck of a lot more than I do. No doubt. All right, folks, stay with me. We got more.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
We're back again with more of this extended conversation. We're taking the entire show today to try to help you and I better decipher, understand, interpret what in the heck has been going on in Tallahassee for, it sounds like, not just a few years, but maybe a couple of decades or better. And we've gone all the way from, you know, the strategies involved with things like Blueprint to local appointed officials, you know, get in line, because there's a lot of that. But you said earlier, Jeremy, you go out and people are like, oh, no, thank you for what you're doing. So the vast majority of us, either we have no opinion, which is a problem in and of itself, but they look at even the simplest aspects of what you're calling for and saying, I think that's a good thing.
Right, and it's not just, you know, a few people. It's a large cross section of our community. It's business owners. It's chamber members. It's former chamber board members. You know, it's people see what's going on. And you know, like you, our business was a member of the chamber. And again, as its role as doing business advocacy and supporting its members, that's what a chamber is supposed to do. I mean, really, sure. It has one interest. Its interest isn't what's best for our community as a whole. Its interest is what's best for its members. And that's not a problem. That's what it should be. We need sure. that one voice of sure. what's good for business.
And there are multiple chambers. We might point
there
that
are.
Out.
There right. there are three.
Capital
and then
City.
NEBA
and,
as well, right, if yeah. you count them. So you have all this. Let us hear what the business community needs, but we don't need a chamber telling us, you know, what we need to do to solve poverty or what we need to do to fill potholes. It's like, you know, we have a lane and they have a lane, and I think they do a very good job at a lot of the networking events and those sorts of things. But it wasn't really until I was a city commissioner that I saw this executive board and the president really come out and advocate for things, and just thinking, well, that doesn't really support all your members. That supports this one hotel developer, this action, you know, asking us to do a no bid sale of public land downtown. How is that good for, you know, your business or my business or all of these businesses?
Right.
Now we're just picking
right.
winners or losers rather than saying, you know, let's make permitting easier or let's reduce the time it takes for our businesses to get something accomplished. So I think there's a very real clear need for something like the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
But we can't pretend like the Chamber of Commerce also works in tandem with our local government, and we're going to go to Amelia Island where other people aren't are, and we're going to do real city business. That's where the line I think needs to be drawn, because a lot of the times it's, you know, we have to balance many different viewpoints. You know, we listen to our neighborhoods, we listen to our environmental advocates, and we listen to our business community.
Right.
And as an elected official, I have to be able to balance all of those and make the best decision. But everything, again, is so tilted and interconnected in one section, it's led to bad public policy. And I think that's really how we need to reach people, because where do we go from here? I think things get a lot better. I think people continue to engage the way that they have been. And I think we can right this ship, you know, just because, sure. You know, some people did some things bad in the past, yeah. Just because some people might have been interconnected into a system. It's like when the system's there, you go with it. But what I'm saying is, this is what the new system should look like.
Yeah.
Who's coming with us? Who wants to do right by Tallahassee?
Yeah, to me, otherwise, you're just rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. You know, well, we had this little thing come up, and so we've dealt with that, and they did some bad things, and they're going to pay the price and so forth. But basically, we're worthy here. We're seaworthy. And you're saying, no, iceberg up ahead. Oh, man. And it's so, especially when I would ask you the question, aren't there laws already on the books, like, I don't know, sunshine laws, that tell us, Jeremy, you can't have a conversation in private about public business? And I remember, I think that was part of the whole thing with Maddox's testimony or somebody in all of the trial proceedings, where they were sort of whining about those pesky sunshine laws. You know, it was like, wait a minute, that's me. You're talking about what we, the people, should be entitled to know about your dealings. Yeah. How did that all just sort of get overshadowed?
Well, I mean, when you have a system that's so muddy as it is in Tallahassee, it's like there's wrong, there's unethical, and there's illegal. And I'd say we've been deep in all three, right? Yeah. But it really took the illegal for people to start paying attention. It was when Commissioner Maddox was indicted. And really, I think the turning point for me was when he signed the statement of fact of the things that were happening. Yeah. You know, people were interested in coming to town. Businesses were looking at Tallahassee. And he would intercept them and say, well, you got to pay up. You got to pay. Yeah. You got to pay the piper.
Talk about a gateway,
right? Yeah.
And there's your gateway, folks.
We talk a lot about recruiting businesses.
Welcome to Tallahassee. Sign here.
We talk a lot about recruiting businesses to Tallahassee. Are not running off talent, but we just saw that on play. So I mean, that's the illegal aspect of it, and then you get into just things that are unethical and wrong. You know, should a lobbyist be getting paid by a city government to push a project that he's also getting paid by a developer that benefits?
Right.
I think we all can look at that and say that's wrong and not how we want to operate. So, I mean, it's a sliding scale of corruption. But again, it's to me, which is why we, you know, kind of come out in front of this and said, here's six things that the city of Tallahassee can do better. We're not going to stop anybody from breaking the law or doing the wrong thing.
Right.
But what I do think we can do is give the people of Tallahassee and the media easier ways to access information where they can spot the wrong
thing. What are those six? Can you take them off for us?
Yes. Well, first would be expanding the definition of a lobbyist. And this one I'm going to elaborate on because it really matters.
Okay.
So many firms in town, if they're a PR firm or, you know, they think that, you know, they just do messaging, that they're not lobbyists, but they're getting paid by private interests to influence government or get funding.
Right. You're either on the ball field or you're not.
Right. Yeah. So we need to basically say that. If you're getting paid to influence your government, you're a lobbyist, and we need to know.
Okay.
And then we could see some of these red flags, I think, earlier of the interconnection between them.
Okay.
Second would be we need to expand our whistleblower protections. You know, historically, the where to wage a whistleblower complaint was to the city manager's office. And if you don't trust the city manager and you don't trust the commissioners who put him there, what are you going to do? You're going to keep your mouth shut. And we just did an ethics audit. And I don't know the number off the top of my head, but the number of people who said if they saw something, they wouldn't say something was pretty concerning. It was about, you know, 25% of people were just like, I'm not going to say anything because I fear retaliation.
Sure.
So how do we expand those protections? We've expanded it to the Inspector General and also to the Independent Ethics Board. That's the only board in Tallahassee that commissioners and the city manager can't influence. And
okay, so that's two of the six. We got four more to go, but we got to take a quick break. Folks, Jeremy Matlow, don't go anywhere because you want to hear the rest of this, and we got a lot more after that. So Stay with me, folks. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Jeremy Matlow. Thank you for staying with me, my friend. If you are a bit, like me, sort of befuddled at this point, things are starting to get kind of dizzy. It's because we're on a fast track trying to process not only the history, but the current status, and then thinking about what do we do going forward. Let me give you a metaphor here. Think about, because we're all football fans, aren't we? Sure. Think about the football field where the lines are drawn before the game begins. And the people who put the chalk on the turf are not the people who are the refs. They're not the players. And they're certainly not the owners of the teams. These are people who are coming in to do that job so that everybody on that playing field abides by those same guidelines, we'll call them. When you find that one of the coaches is running out there on the field and trying to alter the position of the line, that's a dead giveaway that there's something not right here. In common parlance now, we talk about moving the goalpost. Well, this is even more, to me, it's even more insidious because it's about trying to either broaden or remove a line or just freaking move it down the field another 5 yards. You can't do that. Not if you want to continue to play this game, and not if you want any other teams to show up to play against you. It's just not going to happen. So, Jeremy, one of the things you have called for of late is to say, look, if you want people from around the world, around the country, or even within our community to do business here, I mean, would you want to do business where you have to pass through this gateway and get your checkbook out before you even had a conversation? No. Who would want to do that? So then that furthers this sort of, I don't know, incestuous kind of relationships among local business people and the people that they see get elected to office. Am I overstating this?
I think that's a perfect segue to our third proposal, which is we have to end no-bid contracts. The very purpose of competitive bids in government is to ensure that there's a fair process, there's not favoritism being played. So again, if you're that outside company and you're looking at Tallahassee and you're saying, well, they piggyback that, or they decided they didn't need to bid to sell off that sell that property. Mm. Why would you want to go there and do business? So I mean, this is back to there's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing unethical about it. Frankly, a lot of times there could be nothing wrong with it, but the public doesn't know that. That's why we create the process and put it into place. Indeed. To where anybody can bid. And that procurement process is fair. Something concerning that Commissioner Maddox told the FBI was, you know, he felt like he had ability to influence the RFP process. So we need to look into that and really tighten up our standards.
Okay.
But this is playing out while this FBI trial was in the courthouse, blocks from City Hall. The Chamber of Commerce showed up. and said, yes, the city commission should vote to sell off 5 acres in downtown Tallahassee for $8 million. They shouldn't bid it out. They shouldn't take other offers. They should pay 6% to a realtor that brought it to us, even though it was never put on the market. And they said, yes, this is good public policy. And I reject that. That was 5 acres sold for $8 million. And 2 weeks ago, they did the same thing with another parcel on Gant Street. 1 acre sold for $4 million.
Wow.
Now, get your calculator out. What's the price per acre? And how valuable is 2 complete city blocks in downtown Tallahassee? What is somebody willing to pay for that? We'll never know because we never bid it out. So one of our recommendations is we end no bid contracts completely. Mm. And if we do sell public property, it takes 2 public hearings. So anybody out there would have an opportunity to know it was coming, make another offer. So
in the abundance of caution. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, I always support, look, your elected officials are elected to do the right thing and use their best judgment to make decisions, and always support, you know, the commission's power to do what it thinks is best in the interest of our city. But what's best in the interest of our city right now is having practices that people can trust.
Okay. Number four.
Number four is an easy one. If you've ever been convicted of honest services fraud, you can never lobby in the city of Tallahassee.
That's pretty clear.
Ever again, right?
Okay, because simple.
Just because you got to jail, you can't come back and influence the process.
Just open
later.
The book, look down the page, done. Okay, next, number five.
And a tie in that, really what's been exposed at trial is, we talk about this network, we need a complete audit of everything Scott Maddox touched. What was alluded to, you know, there's multiple city vendors that still have contracts that were known to be paying bribes based on the information we have. We need to really, you know, open up the public records, see what happened here. And it's not saying
there's,
you know,
no presumption
everybody's
there.
Bad or anything. It's saying that one looks a little off. Let's rebid it.
That's for the person who says, I'd like to bid on that process. And you're saying, okay, well, let's do the audit so that, you know, going forward, you're going to get a fair shake.
Right, exactly. And, and I mean, I remember there was a an insurance bid, and the top-ranked firm showed up. And in his public comment, he said, I believe Scott Maddox is going to influence this commission to reject my top-ranked bid and give it to his friend, because that's exactly what happened last time. And ballsy move at the time. He was widely shunned at the time. But looking at that in retrospect, you're like, man, here's a guy just trying to do the honest thing and put in an honest bid, and feels like, you know, he was taken advantage of, or the rules were broken to not give him the contract. So we need to look at everything that happened here. The public needs to know, and that's the only way we can really move forward, is once you got to air your dirty laundry and know what happened before you can fix it.
Yeah. And then number six.
Number six is we talk a lot about, you know, these unregistered lobbyists and what's happening and how they're influencing. And the question is always like, well, how can you really hold somebody accountable? You can find the lobbyist, but it's very hard to prove a lot of the times. So we said, what if you're the vendor, if you're the person who stands to gain from a city policy and you're paying somebody and that person doesn't register, then you're automatically disqualified from getting any city contracts. You're automatically disqualified from getting the land deal. So now there's real skin in the game. You're a property, you're a company, you hired a lobbyist, you're looking at your RFP and saying, it says you need to go register. Are you registered? There's another step
of
accountability.
So this would be the Gary Yordan clause. Is that the point?
I would wager half of the PR firms in town have engaged in lobbying. So
we're picking on Gary here, but he was the one person who's willing to stand up and say, no, I never did declare or register that way. Okay, so we've got 6 very pithy, sort of not easy to accomplish necessarily, points of contact here, points of process. Then comes the implementation. Well, let's assume for the moment that everybody says, you know what, Jeremy, you're right. We sign off on all those ideas. Mm-hmm. Then what do we do?
Right. So, well, first step is all of these ideas are, we have put up a website, blueskytallahassee.com.
Okay.
We actually solicited these ideas from the Independent Ethics Board and other groups, okay. and we're going to have a town hall to discuss them on October 6th.
Excellent. It'll be well, we're going to talk at length about Blue Sky Tallahassee. We're going to come back after this quick break. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks, listening to our good friend, Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, and I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we are in the last segment of this rather informative and, for me, sort of numbing 2 hours of trying to better understand where we are, Commissioner Jeremy Matlow being so generous with his time and his thought. I just wonder, too, if for you there is any sort of redemption here. Is there a kind of satisfaction? I mean, you know, when you're running a business, you create the product, you sell the product, the customer's happy, you made profit, hopefully. You paid all of your employees and your expenses, end of day, you know, now we go on. But this doesn't feel like it has any closure, does it?
Well, I think we're in the first quarter. Okay. You know, we're just getting started, right? I mean, I think, you know, years ago we were telling people that Blueprint was a sham, that it needed more engagement.
Accountability.
Uh-huh. And now people are reading exactly what happened and they're going, man, he tried to tell us that a few years ago. You know, they're learning these things about the city manager. Like, oh, he tried to tell us that. Even after the chamber op-ed, you know, some people did say, you know, I thought you came off rather strong. And then the chamber came out with a censure. We were like, whoa. And I went back and read what you wrote. And I was like, oh, it's actually pretty reasonable, right? So there's vindication there. But, I mean, look, I've really transitioned my entire life. You know, this is a huge part of what I do as a part, you know, apart from my family and my business. And there is no personal gain from it other than the fact that I truly believe that we can change Tallahassee for the better. So have we been able to do that yet? No, but I mean, that's my North Star, right? When we get there and I can show up to a city commission meeting and I can think, man, how transparent was that? How engaged with the community mm-hmm. was that? And I do serve on boards. I serve on the on COCA, mm-hmm. and I go to those meetings, and I just hear the long deliberations of why we make decisions and the justification for it and why we make hard choices. And you when you see it, you just know, like, this is just upright and honest. Mm-hmm. And I think when I feel like our Tallahassee government or intergovernmental agencies get there, we'll know it and we'll be a better community because of it.
You know, there have been a few standout, you want to call them whistleblowers, I call them watchdogs, people like Irwin Jackson. Interestingly, you and Irwin are probably on other, you know, opposite sides of the universe when it comes to, let's say, political leanings and such, but yet you have in common this idea.
Yeah, and anytime you challenge power, especially if it's for
money,
their money or their position,
control.
But I mean, if you're advocating for justice, historically you're always attacked, and I agree with you, Dr. Jackson, and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of big picture politics. But I mean, when he was, I mean, I think he showed that It's funny. 2 years ago, I wrote an op-ed that said Blueprint needs your involvement. And I tried to lay out some of the underlying issues that I saw.
Yeah.
And I didn't get much of a response. So sometimes it takes the theatrics to capture the public's consciousness to see that it's happening. So, you know, what Irwin was able to do was really to keep it in the public sphere. And it seems like he was probably successful in attracting the U.S. attorneys and the FBI to actually look into it. You know, we'll never know for sure. But so I think he deserves a lot of credit for showing up again and again. You know, being called a liar, being called the gadfly, and those sorts of things. And, you know, sometimes you'll be called those because you are being theatrical, but that doesn't mean your underlying message isn't true. So I think he found some vindication in the verdict.
You know, I'll tell you one of the telltale things for me early on in your experience as a commissioner was the fact that the people who I would have thought were more aligned with you in terms of political points of view became some of your sharpest critics. I was like, well, wait a minute. Isn't he like one of you? Isn't he part of your? No, because it's not about politics at that point, is it?
Right. I mean, so much of local politics has just been, again, about, you know, those interests and your personal interests. Yeah. You know, we were looking, you know, chamber board members get $15 million in city contracts. It's like, come on, let's just talk about what matters to people. And it's really not, they're nonpartisan racists. So, I mean, there's so much camaraderie or common vision, I think, amongst both parties of how we can invest in our city and really grow our city. You know, like environmental issues don't belong to one party. You know, transportation issues don't belong to one party. Traffic crime, none of these belong to one party. So yeah, I mean, I've been criticized by Republicans and Democrats alike, and I enjoy support from Republicans and Democrats alike.
Congratulations. Yeah, and you've taken it upon yourself to create this Blue Sky Tallahassee. We touched on it earlier. This is probably the first in many such efforts from your side. Tell us a little bit more about what we can expect there.
Sure. So we didn't want to come out and just say, this is what we want to do. So the first thing we did was we had a public meeting at the public library, invited people out, give us ideas, and we collected a bunch, and we came up with the six that we spoke about earlier. And now we're taking it to a second step to where we're going to present the six that we have at a public forum, explain them, let people ask questions, let people recommend changes or other solutions, because our goal here is not just to reform the ethical issues in Tallahassee, but show that there's probably a better and different way to govern, which is let's start at ideas, not a week before a city commission meeting, but just in a public forum, in a public conversation, and let the public help us whittle them down and make them better and stronger. And so after that forum, you know, we then intend to take those ideas directly to the city commission after the public has had a chance to engage with us.
And beforehand. That's a virtual forum, isn't it? So they can go to the website, blueskytallahassee.com. And I've done this. There's an RSVP button. You click on that. You put in your name, a phone number, and an email address. And now they know, okay, you're going to be with us on this forum. So that means I can log in at some point during the forum and be a part of what's going on. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be 6 p.m. On October the 6th. If you RSVP on the website, a few days prior, you'll get a link to the Zoom. It'll also be streamed live on Facebook. But if you want to participate and ask questions, you'll have to log into the Zoom, and there'll be a chat. And, you know, we'll have a moderator, and it'll be just like a traditional public forum. You know, any ideas, any suggestions, any comments, it's just really an opportunity for
open
this
door.
People of Tallahassee to help shape this policy.
I love it. It's called blueskytallahassee.com. Be sure to do that, my friends, and I will commit our radio station to carrying that as well. We'll figure out the technical parts of that, but it'd be great if folks don't have access to internet, if they can listen in to the station and they can be a part of it that way, wherever they may be. Folks, this has brought us front and center with all of these topics at hand. It's not the end of this conversation, but this was a much needed airing of all that has been going on in the last several months, really, and beyond. Jeremy Matlow, our good friend, thank you, Commissioner. We look forward to seeing more and more good things coming from your desk. And thanks for looking out for us.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
All right, folks, that's what we do here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, Tallahassee's radio to the world, bringing you the sound of Tallahassee, all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.